Blog Talk Radio.
So I don't know if you can hear me. I'm not hearing the thing play. We're having some major switchboard issues tonight. But welcome to Spark Radio. Now I heard a little click, but I don't think that was my computer. Don't know for sure. So now I'm not sure because the switchboard's up, but it's not showing that we're on, and I haven't heard our nice little sounder. It's still showing waiting for host to call in, and yet... Oh, now the switchboard disconnected again. So I don't know if we're recording, and I'm sorry you didn't get to hear a wonderful intro. So I'll just keep talking, and I'm going to guess we're not well, who knows if we're recording or not. Welcome to the adventures of online talk radio. The blog talk radio is having some issues. The switchboard keeps popping out. So let me check and see what's going out in the world of chat right now. I want to say welcome back to our regular listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in this week. And welcome to our new listeners who may have been intrigued by our topic of making your brain work better. Just returned from Las Vegas doing some training of credit union trainers. And so right now I don't see any guests, so I'm not sure. If someone is listening and can hear this, if you could type in the chat, that would tell me that we really are recording. I'm just going to keep talking in the hopes that, yes, we really are having a show. So just coming back from Vegas from very exciting sessions with the Credit Union National Association's Experience Learning Live Conference and doing some training 101, cooking up tempting training for new trainers. And so understanding some things about the brain and learning is always exciting. I'm going to still try to work on getting into the switchboard. So apologize for being distracted because I can't use any of the controls I'm supposed to use, nor unfortunately can I take any callers without access to the switchboard. So if you're online and have any questions about making the most of your brain right now, it's still showing waiting for host to call in. The switchboard just came back up. However,
welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Welcome to our third week of Spark Radio. Your host, Melanie, and we will be having a short show tonight due to technical difficulties at Blog Talk Radio. We've been booted out of the switchboard, so we are on recording now. We've got 20 minutes of show time remaining. I want to welcome back those loyal listeners and welcome our new audience members to Spark Radio, where our intention is to share with you strategies, passions, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be a spark to ignite your life with a solution for change. And this week's topic is simple strategies to improve your brain's performance. And I think I may have also lost our chat session. And so, we've got it back. So thanks again to those of you who have been patient. And those of you who have accessed us during the archives this week, we appreciate that as well. Hope you are having a wonderful November. And as we begin to explore the brain, I will share with you that my brain is on overdrive right now. I did the 36-hour fly out to Las Vegas from Iowa, which is a 2-hour time change, and then presented two sessions for credit union trainers at the Experience Learning Live conference yesterday and caught a 12:45 a.m. flight back to Iowa. And so the brain needs sleep. That's strategy number one. If you're finding that you're having issues with concentration or with attention or with memory, one of the lifestyle choices that you could make has to do with getting enough sleep. Because during sleep, there's a process you can think of like memory glue that helps new memories to strengthen their connection. And so making sure that you're getting good sleep. Now, I also, in my travels, of course, gained some congestion. So thank you for bearing with me. I'm feeling a sneeze coming on. I may have to mute out for a second. Oh, my, that was a sneeze. I hope it didn't record for your poor ears. So one strategy, again, is dealing with your choices around sleep. Sometimes we feel powerless when it comes to our brains and memory, and we say things like, oh, I have a terrible memory. And that's also another strategy, is to realize that we tend to get what we think about. There's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. We talked a little bit about that in earlier segments, that actually will function like radar and seek out whatever it is that you're focusing on or believing. And if you're saying, I have a poor memory, then the reality is that you do. Then I'm going to ask my wonderful technician if he can bring down a glass of water for me and say thank you very much. And so as you going back to saying, first of all, correct your statements about, I have a magnificent memory, because we all do. And sometimes we have a little challenge because we don't consciously store our memories in a way that's easier for us to get them out again. And so deciding that we need to consciously press a save key for our memory is important, because the brain's default is delete. As Marcus Conyers says, who co-authored the book Brain Smart in the House, and so if it doesn't have survival value, then the brain has no natural reason to remember it. And so it's kind of reaction of so what. So we need to make a conscious effort to figuring out how we are going to store the information in a way that's meaningful to us. And sometimes we have to make artificial meaning where there is no natural meaning. Because what value is it to the brain to remember your account number, or your password, or a phone number? There's not very often. So we have to make artificial connections. And we can use wonderful strategies, like, if those of you who have played music, that is Alex, our six-year-old right now, is going to play piano. How do you memorize the lines and the spaces on the treble clef? Well, you can use acronyms and acrostics. Acrostics are where you take the first letter of each of the words you're trying to remember and make a sentence with words that start with the same letter. So every good boy does fine is E, G, B, D, F are the lines of the treble clef. Acronyms are when you take the first letter from those items you need to remember and make a word like face, the spaces of the treble clef, F, A, C, E. And so we can artificially put a meaning to something that, again, the brain's default would be delete. And some additional strategies around memory are to use rhythm or rhyme, or do them together, like commercial jingles. Many of us remember having learned in history, in American history, the jingle in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We also used flashcards. We also made up stories when we were younger in school to help us remember things. You can create a mental movie. There's a seminar that I offer, have done with continuing education courses and incorporated in Train the Trainers. It's called your magnificent memory, maintain it or regain it. That's 2.5 hours about understanding memory pathways, memory strategies. And the good news is that we can improve our memories and improve our brain. There are also some really good resources out there if you were to do some searching for, do you exercise your brain? Do you do puzzles, read, continue learning on a regular basis? Because your brain, just like muscles, works better as you continue to learn. So I haven't done the Sudoku yet, but crosswords and word finds and red herring stories are all puzzles that the brain enjoys. The I Spy books, Where's Waldo books, where you have to look at visual and discriminate visually to locate a particular object, all of those work as well. So there are a number of books. One is called Brain Fit by Corrine L. Gettyman and Francis M. Crinella. Also, if you log on to brainbonanza.com under resources, there is a resource list for, I believe there's one for memory. If not, we'll post the one for memory so you can check in later, some of the great resources. There are also some other strategies around keeping your brain active. How many of us, out of habit and routine, sit in the same chair when we watch television or sit at the same chair at the dinner table? Do exactly the same routine in the morning. And for some of us, I have a colleague who eats exactly the same food for breakfast every day. Well, when we don't consciously think about and change that up, then the brain becomes like lazy, like a lazy muscle. And so maybe tomorrow, change around the order. If you normally get dressed before you eat breakfast, tomorrow eat breakfast and then get dressed. If you normally brush your teeth with your left hand, tomorrow brush your teeth with your right hand. If you drive the same route to work every day, tomorrow change it up a little bit and drive a different route to work. Anything that adds a little challenge, a little change up that causes the brain to focus and pay attention helps. So learn something new. Take a class. Continuing education. Take the one shot. Go in. You know, I thought maybe you might want to learn something about wine. Take a continuing ed course through your local community college or through a local university or another center that may exist in your community that offers courses. Physical exercise also helps your brain. The part of your brain called the cerebellum, located in the back of your brain, many of us learned when we were younger that it was responsible for moving. And as we've expanded our technology to be able to view scans of the brain, we've realized that that part of our brain, in the back of our brain, contains 30 to 40% of all the cells of our brain, and it's wired to all the other lobes and parts of the brain. So movement literally is connected with all our thought processes, and including movement and memory and speech, etc. Dr. Carla Hannaford, who wrote the book Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head, said that to truly learn something, there needs to be movement involved. And the work of Eric Jensen talks about the concept that when you know it in your body, you know it. So you add a movement or a gesture to reinforce that memory. Has someone ever asked you for a phone number and you said, oh, just a minute, and then you take your fingers and you punch the number on your imaginary phone, and then you can remember the number. But up until the time that you punch that number in, you're unable to remember because that is stored in your body and is not connected to memory. I'm going to have a sneeze. I'll be back in just a second. Oh, thank you for your patience. And I've learned to make sure the little microphone comes back on. So we were talking about what happens when your humidifier starts up, and now you have noise in the background. We were talking about the brain and memory and old phone numbers when you put it in your body. Tonight's show is a perfect example of when your brain does not have enough sleep. It is hard to concentrate and focus. So sometimes when you have to remember things, and some people do this intuitively, they put items on their fingers when they have a list of four or five things to remember. There is a strategy called Smart Pegs, also by Marcus Conyers. It's in the Brain Smart in the House book, where you attach items to parts of your body, and there are 10 that he uses, starting with your forehead, and then your shoulders, your chest. And what you do is you mentally, visually put those items there and then anchor them. And so that way you can remember what it is that you need to remember later. There are a number of strategies that we can consciously choose to use, things that either we learned in school, maybe we didn't learn in school, that can help us to remember. And some, for some reason, we think as we get older, oh, we shouldn't use flashcards or cue cards. Oh, hello, of course we can. The reason that they work is because they integrate the hemispheres of the brain. They're great strategies for learning. Make cue cards for yourself. They're visual. They're a reference card. We carry around so much information that we think we have to remember. Or it's in the BlackBerry, or as they were saying on the flight, put away your fruit basket, whether you have a BlackBerry, whether you have a blueberry, whether you have a strawberry, put it away as the plane is getting ready to take off. So sometimes we use those PDA devices. Sometimes we use the voice messaging on our phones. We have reminders pop up on our computers. And sometimes we spend so, just the act of putting it in there helps us to remember as well. We realize we don't have to rely so much on our memory, and it is good, though, to practice memorizing things and to continue to do that and to be creative in the process. And it becomes a game. And if you have children in your life, it's awesome to involve them in that process of how can you remember better. If you have any questions about learning or improving how your brain is working, particularly with memory, the call-in number is 347-215-8390, or you're welcome to type into our chat, which is now back up again. Wanted to talk a little bit about Dr. Daniel Amen's work tonight. His most recent book is Making a Good Brain Great. He has been involved with the Amen Clinic, A-M-E-N, and has been scanning the brain for decades. So he has a library of over 25,000 brain scans and has identified, I believe, at least 6 different kinds of ADD, depending on what area of the brain has a misfiring and miswiring. And as a result, he will not prescribe anything without seeing the brain scan itself, because sometimes the medication that helps one part of the brain does not help another. There is also some new exciting work in neurofeedback, and then I will be interviewing Dan Block in a few weeks to talk about that and how that can impact ADD without medication, that you can actually help the brain rewire itself, which is exciting news. So back to making a good brain great. Are you giving yourself the right nutrition? Would you drive your car without oil and water and gas? Probably not for very long, although with gas prices doing what they are, some of us wish we could drive them without gas. However, we often try to drive our brains without the proper nutrition and hydration. If you ask Alex, he will tell you that before school, on those school days, he knows that he needs to have protein for breakfast in the morning. Eggs are a great source of pure protein that can be easily converted into any of the other proteins that we need. Choline is necessary for the learning process. Lecithin breaks down into choline because it needs to form acetylcholine. Our brains need chemicals, and it has to create some of these from building blocks that we don't naturally have in our body, so we have to take them in through food. And if you don't have those building blocks, the brain struggles. And so if you notice that you don't eat breakfast and you have some challenges, you make more mistakes in the morning, you have difficulty focusing, it's often because you don't have protein, which the brain needs for the nerve cells to connect well when you're learning. So if you know you're going to a training session or you have a class, making sure you eat protein in the meal prior to that, or bring a snack that consists of protein. That can be peanut butter, it can be eggs, it can be yogurt. And there, wheat germ is a great source of choline. So there are a lot of resources. There's a wonderful book that we offer at Brain Bonanza called Feed Your Brain for Memory by Sandy Bauman. She has another one called Feed Your Brain for Learning. And it's about understanding, why is it your brain needs omega-3 fatty acids? And we get way too much omega-6 fatty acids in our diet. Your Miracle Brain by Jean Carper is another wonderful resource book about diet and nutrition and how that impacts the brain. If you go to brainbonanza.com, there are resources. You'll find from Sandy Bauman's work, Feed the Brain Protein for Memory and Concentration, Feed the Brain a Protein Breakfast, and protein, the combination of protein, healthy fat, and good carbs, because we really need all three. And the good carbs are the ones that are going to keep you from being hungry until lunch. So you want to have some good high-fiber carbs, you need the protein, and then please consult a doctor before you take any kind of supplements or vitamins. And realize, though, that your brain does need magnesium and many other minerals and vitamins that, again, we don't often get through our diets and our brains cannot make them. So it says now we have 2 minutes remaining. And so, again, if you have any questions that you want to talk about this week, and some of you noticed that it does say that this show's host is Ms. Melanie, the Brain Passion Lady, because the brain is a passion of mine, as is living your passions. We have this amazing, wonderful brain that unfortunately most of us have not gotten any instruction or information about how to use it. It's like the flashing time on a VCR or microwave or the other appliance that we just haven't figured out how to set. And some of us have even gotten away from VCRs and just use DVDs and DVRs right now. The good news is that with the research and understanding what's happening in the brain during the learning process, there's much we can do with our lifestyle choices. Sleeping, exercise impacts memory and learning. Good nutrition, hydration. Most of us walk around with dehydrated brains. We're going to save water for another topic. Next week, we're going to have as our guest Dr. David Balster with the Center for Creating Wellness from Monticello, Iowa. He's going to talk about wellness, and he is work as a chiropractor and best practitioner. Please join us next week. I want to thank you again for investing your time here tonight. And remember that what you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but is what is woven into the lives of others, said Pericles. It's been a pleasure spending our 21 minutes together this evening. Please stay safe and choose to create great days as you continue to make positive difference in the lives you touch. If you have any questions between now and our next show related to wellness choices, health, that you would like to have Dr. David Balster answer, you can send an email from blogtalkradio.com/spark. And I will get that email. And you can join us live next Wednesday night, November 14th, from 7 to 7:30.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Ms. Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.